Today's daf is Masechet Tzvachim, daf Ayin Tet, and we just got finished with the answer in the Gemara to what appeared to be the contradiction in Rebbe Yehuda as to whether we say Roin, and therefore we should be Machmer as long as the substance is theoretically detectable if what it's mixed into would have been something in which it would be detectable. And the other Rebbe Yehuda, who seems to be saying you can be Mavatel inside of a Dli, the Mechatat, with a Rove of Mayim from the Mikveh, and we don't say at, well, I mean, what if the Mechatas would have been red wine and then it wouldn't have been Bottle? And we answered yesterday, according to Abaye, that one is Rebbe Yehuda in his own Shita, and one is Rebbe Yehuda following the Shita of his Rebbe Rami Amliel. Rava says no such thing is necessary. He holds exactly like Rebbe Gamliel. The reason that he's makel in the case of the Mechatat is a completely different issue. And what we're talking about over there, and by the way, I mean, what did you think rowing the color of the urine to be similar to water has something to do with our rowing? Rowing over there just means urine is water for all intents and purposes and becomes part of a mikveh like any other water. That's all that he was saying over there. As far as why we go according to the rove in such a case is because of the unique case. The din is there the Dli was Tomei Midirabana. And how is that possible? Remember that meteorite, a container is only Makabal Tuma from an Avatuma. Kli cannot be Makabal Tuma from Mashkin no matter what. The Rabana made a Gezerah that Mashkin can be Matami, Kalim, but there's a clear-cut hecker when Mashkin are Matame Tamei Kli, in that the outside of the Kli becomes Tamei, and the inside remains Tahar. Very weird situation. That's what happened over here. So you have now Mechatat that's inside of that Dli. So the Tocho is Tahar. It's completely Tahar inside. It's Gabo that's Tamei. The outside is Tamei. Now, all you would need to do in order to be able to be Matayer this Dli is you would need to put the outside of the Dli in the water just enough that the water pours over the top of the Dli for an instant, and that's enough. You don't have to fill the Dli with water. Now, the problem is that the guy who's got the Mechatas in the Dli is thinking to himself, oh, God, get $10,000 worth of water inside this Dli. I have a Dli that's only Tomei on the outside. If I'm very careful, what I could do is I could use surface tension to keep the water of the mikveh out of the Dli and just come right over the top, you know? And that way I would have a Dli that was completely tavul, but none of the water got inside. I saved myself $10,000. Yeah, but what's going to probably happen is he's not going to be able to sleep properly. Therefore, the Rabbanan, we're geyser. Listen, buddy, either you fill up most of that thing with mikveh water, forget it. You see, the Dli remains stomach. So therefore, the whole thing is only a gezerah. How much are we going to have to be geyser? Because any little bit that gets into it is going to ruin it anyway. So we tell him, make sure there's enough in there to be a rove. And then we know, okay, so what could I do if I want to be matired, I'm going to have to do this. So it's the Rabbanan who degozerbu, dilmechayis alayav alamavatalu. The Rabbanan said, since he is likely to try to protect it, so they insisted to get the water, and it's nothing to do really with the din of rove. This is not a din of bittul at all. So they said, okay, if you have rove, lo tzarech, then we know already you screwed it. There's nothing left to do. Enough.
Why don't you take the color?
Whatever the case is, you know, whatever the realities are of his logistics are limited, but this is where we were going. Omar Rava, doctor,
sure.
This is a new, if you have to go, now's the time.
Okay. Sorry about that.
We'll see you, Bezrat Hashem.
Okay.
Omar Rava. So Rava points out that there are certainly different types of bitul. There are times where Omer Rabbanan b'ta'ama. There are times where the Rabbanan say, go according to the taste of a thing. There are times where the Rabbanan say, look at the rove. Omer Rabbanan b'ruba. And there are times, Omer Rabbanan b'chazuta, where you look whether it's detectable by your ability to see it. So if you have min b'she'ino mino, of something which is going to be kosher or not kosher, and there it, of course, is betayma. Is it tasteable or not? Min b'mino, where, of course, he obviously is not talking about min b'mino lo batel. According to Man Yom, min b'mino is batel. Since you cannot detect the taste, as Reish Lakish said, so over there it would be baroth. Now, eicha de'ika chazuta, if it's something like dam, which is a question of whether it's detectable, over there it goes according to the chazuta. So when it comes, let's say, to the wine in the mikveh, if it doesn't look like wine anymore, so now it's kosher for tefillah. And pliga, this whole shita that we had until now, of Reish Lakish, who says that isurin or mevatlim zed zed, is, of course, remarkably nogea, the Seder of Pesach. Because what do we do in the Seder of Pesach? We take matzah and morer, and we mix it together, and we bite it, which is exactly Reish Lakish's case. So according to Hillel, we would take the Korban Pesach, mix it with matzah, morer, and they'd be chewing it. Reish Lakish says, wait a minute, in that case, you something is bottled on something else. So now apparently, if you hold that, I mean, it's the most obvious question on Reish Lakish. And now, in that case, I wouldn't say so. I don't know which one you weren't yaitzeh, because I know perfectly well that if I'm mixing matzah and maror, I know which one I'm going to be tasting. So therefore, but at least what happened to the matzah? Because according to Rebbe Elazar says like this, kishem she'in mitzvot nevat la'tzaratzu, and of course he's basing it on this exact issue. So just like we don't have a problem being mevatel one mitzvah and another mitzvah, kach eini surim mevatlim zorzu. Therefore, Reish Lakish's entire contention, according to him, would be wrong. We don't say that an isser is mevatel an isser. Only heter is mevatel an isser. Now, by the way, why do you take for granted that ein mitzvot mevatlot zorzu? Man shamet le diomar ein mitzvot mevatlot zorzu. That's hilali. Tetanya amru alam alayvala zaken. Shaya korchan bevatachat vochlan. So he would take the Pesach matzah mor, wrap them all together, and eat them. Mishum shenemar al matzotim rorim yochluhu. So according to this, we should say the mor should be mevatel the time of the matzah, and it's not. Why? Apparently, because it's a mitzvah. So the same thing is true of isurin. It won't be mevatel. It says Rebbe Elazar because it's a iser.
Tana Rabbanan. Isn't this isurin? Isn't this just mitzvah?
Yeah, but the same thing, if they're all Isurim, it's the equivalent of they're all being mitzvot. In other words, the fact that they are all mitzvah puts them into the context of each one as its specific thing. And you can't just be mevatel it. It's not as if it was mixed in something else. It's in a mitzvah. Here too. It's not as if it's in a heter. It's in Isur. So the Isur remains Isur. We're going to see as we go along that there's a whole question, a thematic issue, as to what role the state of Isser Veheter per se plays in the entire story of Bittel, even to the point where the question of two things being Usser creates a situation of Min Bemino, if that's all you would look at as the Isser, even if they're physically different things. In fact, opposite of the way we've been assuming it.
Reish Lakish said, when you have the same substance like meat, then it's mevatel because we don't know which one is which. But here we
even though it's Isser.
Yeah. So, but here we're talking about that eating three things different. So how is it?
That's true. No. That's absolutely true. But the question, the yesod question here, is what are we talking about being mevatel pigel and notar? If Rebbe Eliezer holds that you cannot be, he's saying you cannot be mevatel an Isser to an Isser. Remember, that was one of the Shema Minatlat. The first Rambam, you see Isser Mevatlim Zuzu. Rebbe Eliezer takes issue with that first Shema Minah. I don't believe that an Isser is Mevatl another Isser. Then we can get into the question, as we will, about the specific types of Bittl. So Tana Rabbana, Chazan Shel Zav Vizava. So suppose you have now a chamber pot that was used for urine of a zav or a zava. Now the urine, of course, there would be tame, and it's even metame behesed. So somebody moves it, becomes tame. But you poured out the urine. Nonetheless, we say that if now you'll put water into this, there's still going to be urine that was absorbed by the pottery, And the mixture is still going to contain the urine of his Avra Zava, and it'll be Matame. If you wash it out once, and then you pour that out, wash it out again, it's still Tame. But the third time, it's already Tahor. Where do we say it's Tahor? If Natan the Tokomai, if you used water to clean it out. So then by the third time, you have already reduced the urine to the point where it's not detectable in the water. However, if you didn't use water, you just had a Tahor person use it as his chamber pot, so now you were constantly washing it out, so to speak, with clean urine, then it's not going to be bottled. Afilu asiri tame, even the tenth time around, it's still going to be tame. Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, that's not true. Even if it was urine, that was clearing out urine, by the third time, you don't have the urine of the Zava, and therefore it would be Tahor. Afa pishalonatan the Tahor, mayim Tahor. Now, obviously, the difference in the Shitot is whether min b'mino is batel or not. In other words, the urine of the Zav and the urine of the Tahor is never going to be batel, therefore I don't care how many times you washed it out. Whereas Rebbe Eliezer says even min b'mino would be batel, right? Now, who is the man d'yomer that says min b'mino is not batel? So that's Rebbe Yehuda. And now we see that Alibet Rebbe Yehuda, that means that the one who argues Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, holds that the halacha is, and that's Rebbe Yehuda, so that we now have the shita that mashkin are going to be niflat, as long as no problem in b'mino, they're going to be niflat in three times. By the third time, you've cleared out whatever was absorbed into a solid of a liquid. That's what it seems to be saying over here. Now, the problem is that we have another case of solid and liquid. And that is where you have a woman who is a nida, who is spinning linen thread. The way that you spin linen thread, because of the, you've all seen the linen they used to use to wrap the etrogim in, the only way to spin that is to moisten it. So she would always put it into her mouth, moisten it a little bit, and then twist. So that means that there was a lot of spit that was absorbed in it. And next time you wear your nice clothing and the linen. So the pishtan shetavato nida. So now if you've got this clothing that was made out of that, so if you're mesit it, so it's tahor. If you, it's completely dry now, and you move it, it's tar. But if it's still damp, so then it's tamek. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, afarotfo b'mayim tamei mishum mashke pia vafilu tuva. Comes along Rebbe Yehuda to say, forget about it, it's still damp. It dried out completely. Now you put it in a washing machine. It's going to be tamei because it's still going to have her reconstituted spit. Now, he didn't say whether it's the 10th time you put it in the washing machine or the first time you put it in the washing machine. Mashma, that it's afilu tuva. And this is Rebbe Yehuda, for heaven's sakes. A moment ago, Rebbe Yehuda was saying that in the case where you've got the urine inside of the chamber pot, that over there, three times, it isn't urine over here, you're not washing it in a washing machine full of spit, you're washing it in water. Exactly the same thing as a chamber pot that you washed out with water. And Rebbe Yehuda, who is mamish the same man of the armor over there. Because if he said if it's urine, then you can't rely on that. That's Rebbe Yehuda, correct? And Rebbe Yehuda over there says, but if it's water, the third time it's already okay. Because by then you don't reconstitute something that was absorbed into the chamber pot. So over here he says, but you do reconstitute the spit of the Nida even a tenth time around. How do you explain that? What's the difference between the two cases? Rav Papa is a very obvious logistical difference. Spit is thick, and it's cardier. It's absorbed deeply. It sticks to the fibers of the pishtan, and it's absolutely physically not the same as washing out a chamber pot. We're over there in Achidami. Three times is sufficient, even I'll leave it to Rebbe Yehuda. And if you'll remember, let's take a look back in the Mishnah, just to remember again. We had two cases. If it's mixed with dam that's pasul, then even if the rov is kosher, pour it out. If it's mixed with dam atamtzit, which is the blood that leaks out after the dam hanefesh spurted it out, it should be poured out. And we had a little bit of ambivalence in how to view Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Machshir is that. Rabbi Eliezer Machshir, both of the above cases, it doesn't hold to the Gezerah here. Or Rabbi Eliezer Machshir in the case of the Dama Tamsit, and he says, there's no problem of using the Dama Tamsit if you have the Dam Kosher that's a rogue. This, it turns out, is dependent on the explanation of the Machloket. Asks the Gemara B'Maika Mifli. What is the Tanakhama say? Is the reason for it being, possible has to be spilled out. And Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's kosher. Omer of Zvid, the question is a general question which would apply both to the Dam of Tzulim and to the Matam Tzit. Do we make a Gzera in the Mikdash? That's the question. The Gozrin Gzera of Mikdash Kamiflige. Marshava Gozri. The Tanakhama says, look, you gotta worry, even where you've got rov of the dam that's kosher. What if people won't be being careful, and they'll allow even to use dam where you have rov that's possible? So we make a gzera. I said, should we make a gzera in the Beis HaMikdash? Generally, yes. I say siyag l'torah. But in the Beis HaMikdash, if we make such a gzera, we're gonna be possible in korbanos? Do we want to cause a hefset of kachim? That's the machlokas. So the Tanakhama holds, even though it's kachim, we don't care. There's a din of making a siyag l'dvarecha, we make a siyag in order not to come to a case where we would be bringing rov pasul on the mizbeah. Umar Shavah Logosin says, Rabbi Eliezer, look, if it isn't batul, then it's still kosher. Rav Papa Amar, no. Rabbi Eliezer agrees about the first case. Gozrin, yes, because maybe you'll have the dam of the psulim. The question is about the second case. The second case has got a logistical problem. The dam nefesh that spurts out is going to be most of the blood. How long are you going to keep the animal hanging here so that the dam tamtzik, which is dribbling slowly out, is going to be rov? That's the question. So the Rabbanan certainly don't make a gezera where it's difficult to conceive of circumstances where the gezera will be important. It's not benimtza. That's the issue. V'harcha b'dama tamtzit matzui l'rabot adama nefesh kamiflegit. Is that considered to be shechiach? Is it a normally occurring event that there would be enough dama tamtzit that you could come sufficient times to a problem of having rov dam atamtzit, which indeed is possible for the mizbeach, that we should worry that even though normally you wouldn't, but what happens if it happens? If you hold that that's significant, so then you make a gzera, because everybody holds you make a gzera. Mariah, the first case we made a gzera, and even Rabbi Eliezer's boda, according to this approach, in the first case of the Tanakhama. Masha'in came. Rabbi Eliezer himself holds, it is not generally gonna be found. Mar Shava lo shechiach. We don't make a gezera where it's not shechiach. Now, it happens to work out beautifully the way Rav Pop is understanding it, that Rabbi Eliezer is only arguing on the last case. That explains why the Mishnah separates the cases into two parts. So Bishle Mal Rav Papa Haina Dikani Nitari Vedam Apsule Mishafech Ladam Lama. Nisari v'dam atamtzit yishafech la'ama. I mean, that's two separate statements. But according to Zvid, who holds it's all one issue, whether we're gezer in the Mikdash, we're not gezer in the Mikdash, it should have said, nitare v'dam apsulim o v'dam atamtzit yishafech la'ama. Why does it say yishafech la'ama twice? And that is clearly an indication that Rabbi Eliezer Machshir is not going on both cases. We should have put them together and said it all. Kasha, that indeed is a problem. Rav Amar, Bedli Shetochot Tahor V'Gabot Ha'Yaskin, and Bedina Saglu B'Kodu. The Rabbonu, where goes the Dilma Chayas Alayav Alam Avatalev, even the Ikeru B'Lo Tzarek Yoter Mizem. Omra Rav, Omra Rabbonu B'Tama, Omra Rabbonu B'Ruba, Omra Rabbonu B'Chazuta. Min b'sheino mino is b'taima. Min b'mino is beruba. Hecha the ika chazuta, like the case of the dam, then it's defined by mar'eh. Upligi Rabbi Elazar, the Amar Rabbi Elazar, the shem shein mitzvot mevatlot zotzot, kach en yisurim mevatlin zetzeh, and therefore forget about Reish Lakish's case. Man shamat le diomer ein mitzvot mevatlot zotzot. This is Hillel, the tiny umroh lava lava zakein ayakor chan, the Pesach matzo mora bevat achat vochlan, mishub shiram ramatzot bronrim yochlu, and we're not worried about being mevat of the time of the matzah in the time of the mora. You wash it out, Pam Rishon, Pam Sheni, it's still tummy. But Shlishi, it's tahor. But if you wash it out with urine, then I feel a siri tummy. Rabbi Yezim ben Yaakov Amir, nah, it doesn't matter. Whatever you used, you got rid of the urine of the Zava Zava. So Shlishi, Apa Pishalan, Tana Toho Maim Tor. Now, who would be the author that would have been machmer if it was urine and urine? Rabbi Yehuda, right? That's Rabbi Yehuda. So what do you do with the fact that Rabbi Yehuda himself says that in a case where a woman was tavat pishtin and she's a nida, if someone is mated when it's dry, it's tahar. But imay Allah, then mesito tameh. Why? Because there's still mashkapia. Comes on, Rabbi Yehuda says, even if you made it wet afterwards, avarot v'mamayim tameh, mishum mashkepiyah, and it doesn't matter how many times, afilu murtuva, amrav papa, but that's different, that's roke, roke is courier. Nitarev bedamat sulim mishafek lama, and bedamat amsit mishafek lama, so v'mayim tameh. Omer Zvid, well, it's a general machloket, both of the cases are included. Begozrin, gezerab in Migdash, kamifurim, arsa, begozrim, arsa, velo gozrin, because of Hefzit Karshim. Rav Papa Omer, no, it's not the same case. Kuliyama gozrin. The second case of Damatamtsit, there's where they argue. So, Damatamtsit, motsui l'rabot adamanevish kamifurim. Marsa, vashkiach, and therefore it makes sense to make a gezerah. And Rabbi Elazar says, it's never going to happen, lo shkiyam. So Bishlam, Rav Papa, Hani, Nitani, twice, Nitarei, B'dam, Sulim, Shafech, Lama. B'dam, Adam, Tziti, Shafech, Lama. But according to Rizvit, it's all one machlokes, so why not Larvina, Velitzdinu? Kasha.